Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers. And you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, what have you. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeyers, journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and oh my God, that list, it goes on and on and on, and it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our very own individual unique ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil that we call creation, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jen Young today, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. Jeannie is not in the chat room today, so any questions you have, post them and we'll try to take care of them. Also, this is not a day in which we are going to be doing readings, but if you have something you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask as we go along in our discussion, which is going to ramble all over the place, please feel free to call in and press number one and stick your hand up. We would love to share in this discussion, but again, there are no readings today. That's tomorrow. If you want to get a reading from Jen, and I suggest you do and you call in early, this is just a little too early to call in for that. Make sure you call in early tomorrow so that you get into the line fast, because it is going to be a very long line. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that amazing voice. He also has a show on Visionary Times on Fridays and I think one other day during the week. It's an amazingly magical, wonderful show. I strongly, strongly suggest you check his show out. I'm addicted to it. I get addicted easily, but it's a really good show. I'm at BarbaraDeLong.com, and we're going to get Jen to tell us where she can be found. I came upon Jen through Ray Booker, who does regular shows with us once a month at least, and So he is highly recommended her. I've had the pleasure of talking with her. And it's amazing how synchronistically we are drawn to people who have like-mindedness and light-mindedness. I started my show out. I used to start my show out by saying I was seeking the seekers. And I'm still seeking the seekers. And I think I have to rewrite my intro just a little bit to put that back in. Because I have found that I have been synchronistically drawn to people, to places, to things, and made connections that I never would have made on my own. It's almost as though the universe is sort of opening doors for me when consciousnesses seem to be in sync. And this was one of those magical times. I had the pleasure of talking to Jen for, it felt like just a few minutes, but it was actually a very, very long conversation comparing notes with her. And I wanted to give her an opportunity to help, you know, let people know what her philosophy is, because so often when readers are on shows, they're expected to read, to tell you about your relationship, to when your next job is coming, or when you're going to get a raise, or when you're going to meet your soulmate or whatever. And we don't really get a chance to talk about the spiritual philosophy that has gotten us to this point in time and helped us to develop the gifts and the talents that we share on Blog Talk Radio. So that's what this show is about. Jen is an incredibly intelligent lady. She has amazing gifts and talents. And not only that, but she has a gifted and crafted way of putting and teaching information out there without you actually knowing that you're being taught, which you know, I will take notes and copy from, absolutely. I want to open her mic so she can talk. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me. I think
Well, you know, it's.
I know you've made me blush. Wow.
Well, I don't bring just, you know, clinkers on here if I can help it. I have in the past by accident, but I don't do that anymore. I feel strongly that people who are gifted and talented like you are often are put in a cubbyhole. And you know, it's sort of like, oh, you're a psychic, you're a medium. And you're expected to be able to give people information, but you're not expected to have a thought in your head, I don't think. And so shows like this give us a chance to really hash out our philosophies and share ideas and let people know that there is much more to us than, you know, tuning into a loved one, which is a great talent and a gift, don't get me wrong. But there is so much more to a person who has capabilities like that. And I think people have to understand that the journey is always a long one, and there's always a lot of learning and wisdom that is gathered along that journey to get to the point where you can tap into other people's energies and share the energetic information that is there and slip in teaching and wisdom when they're not looking. So, how did you get to the place where you knew that this was going to be a pathway for you?
Wow, what a loaded question.
Well, there's no wrong answer, so go for it.
There is no. I knew I could. When I was three, I knew that there was another dimension there, although I didn't know what it was. I guess we adopted my brother when I was 3 years old. He was a native boy, and he was from the Yukon. We all lived in the Yukon, and he was crying in the middle of the night, and I woke up, and in the hall I could see this old woman standing there, and she said to me, "It's okay. He'll be fine. Go to sleep." And I couldn't go to sleep. All I could see was this old woman. And then I heard my dad get up, and he went to check on my brother, and he went back to bed, but the person was still standing in the hall. And I thought, that's not right, you know, like. And so I mentioned it to my parents, and they said, no, it was my dad. And I said, no, it wasn't. Like, that person was there every night. And it wasn't until many years later that I found out it was actually my great-great-grandmother, whose name was also Jenny.
Ah.
But this had, I know, very interesting. But this had gone on throughout most of my early years, and I just sort of know things without knowing how. And I'd get into trouble, you know, from my older sisters and for different things. And, you know, granted, you know, one Christmas I did snoop and I was caught, and it was the old story of, you know, being a kid. But, and then, you know, I left the path of knowing, of wanting to know and exploring the gifts we're given, our abilities. I wrote down today what I was told to write down, that we're soothsayers, seers, and sages, all ways of saying that we are gifted, that we're gifted with the knowledge of seeing the unknown or the unseen, when in fact what I am told is that each of us are given these abilities and attributes from the time we were conceived. Conception is not what most perceive. It is when we were made by the I Am, or the universe, spirit, God, whatever we want to call it. I am told once again that one, or what we could argue, gosh, this is hard to read. Boy, was I scribbling. What we could argue with is that we are all humans because we are given freedom of choice. So when my brother died, he was given the freedom of choice. And it took me a long time to come to terms with that. He ended up committing suicide. We are given freedom of choice. Yes, I knew 3 weeks before that his life as we knew it was going to end. I'm given that gift of knowing when my parents were going to step out and up and beyond and whatever. Whatever one wants to call it. I say people mm-hmm. die. Everybody has their own way of phrasing things. And to me, it's all great. But so when you're young and when something catastrophic happens, we step back. We go a different path because, gee, sometimes it's just too close. We don't want to know. But in my opinion, we're always pulled back because Spirit tells us this is what you're meant to do. This is what you're given. And this is where your ultimate happiness is, because the Spirit inside you is so intense and is so unhappy if you don't follow it.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, what I find fascinating is that everybody so far, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but for the most part, those of us in the spiritual field who have been in the field for a length of time actually have no choice. We're basically, you know, almost compelled. And sometimes when we try to, you know, go in another direction, the universe subtly and then gently and then not so gently moves us into where we're supposed to be. I call it my 2x4 moment.
I love that.
Because I can remember being told a long time ago how, oh, you should be doing this full time, and I kept saying, you know, are you crazy? I've been teaching for so many years, it's ridiculous. I have 2 master's degrees. Do you have any idea what I would give up if I decided to go into this full time now? But when I retire, I will do it full time. I swear to you, that's what I'm going to do. And I was in my 40s then. And I said it one time too many, And the universe said, all right, so give her a car accident and shove her into early retirement. If that's the only way she's going to do it, then that's what we'll give her. And it was a doozy of a car accident. And it ended my teaching career in the school system. And it enabled me to, for the last 30 years, 40 almost, being in this field full-time instead of the part-time that I was doing when I was teaching school. And it was sort of like, if I hadn't said, when I retire, I'll do it full-time, I probably would still be teaching. So, you know, but I am still teaching, but I'm just not teaching in the classroom. But I have found that when the universe, that there are people that are not so subtly manipulated into this field. I used to call myself a long, long time ago, like 40-some years ago, the reluctant psychic, because to be honest, at that time, I you know, if someone had said to me 10 years previously or whatever, you're going to be a psychic and you're going to talk to people about their spirits and their energy and their, I would have told them they were absolutely crazy and suggest strongly that they see a shrink. And so, you know, at this point in time, I have absolutely learned that the subtleties when the universe sends them, I try to act on them as fast as I can because I'm terrified as to what they'll do if I decide to not.
Are you describing my life?
Yeah. Probably. Those of us that have been in the field for a very long time have had no choice. There, you know, you say there's free will and there's free choice, and there is. So you're free to choose to get into it, you know, and it'll be easier if you get into it early rather than later. But you have the freedom to wait as long as you like, and then the universe will just kick you in.
You're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I'm laughing because Ray knows, and, you know, and he's probably laughing as well. If I was in a couple of real doozy car accidents, and the first time it was a good one, and I thought, okay, I'm going back to work. I'm gonna be this full time, whatever it was, and you know, I was off, and this is what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna, you know, wear my business suit and my, you know, carry my little briefcase and do whatever, and it was like, oh no, you're not. We'll put you in another good one. And I thought, are you kidding me? No. And it was about, just counting the other day, it was about 10 years ago. And it's the exact same thing. If anyone had told me, you're going to be doing radio shows, you're going to be helping find lost people, you're going to be compelled. And I love that word because I've used it. I'm compelled to do this. Don't ask me why. I am compelled. It is a compulsion. I have to do it. I would have said, you are crazy. There is no way. And it is just this. It's so freeing. It really is. It is like a weight off my shoulders or anyone's mm-hmm. shoulders finally says, I am accepting.
And it's like, it's almost like a drug because I find it gives you an amazing high. And you know, it's, and I tell people that there's such joy in doing this work that, you know, it's almost embarrassing. It's so much fun. But there's energy that is generated, and you know, we've got Ray in the chat room, we've got Rihanna in the chat room, we've got Chris in the chat room, we've got, I mean, these people in the chat room are also in the same position, and you know, at least one of them won't admit it, but then that's just her, but there is an energetic that absolutely is pushing us forward, and I am finding it fascinating watching it at work in my life, and just sitting back and saying, well, I would have gotten there eventually, you know. I just, you don't need to put this kind of pressure, and it's funny because when I can suddenly, you know, have something that I'm fascinated with and start researching it and, you know, kind of putzing my way through it, and then suddenly I'm booked on a radio show and that's the topic I'm supposed to talk about, and then it's like, oh damn, I have less than a week to learn enough so that I don't sound like an idiot. And it happens more and more and more frequently. And it's fascinating. But I have found too, and I was going to ask you if you have found the same thing, that I'm coming up against a lot of their been there, done that, not doing that again, challenge me more.
Yes. I have to say that's a true statement. You know, it's right now I feel that I have gone in some aspects of my life or whatever, I've done it. I've done enough. I'm not doing any more. Don't ask me to do any more because, you know, I absolutely can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I absolutely have to, I will, but don't push me. I don't know if that makes sense. And it's not with the spiritual aspect of my life. It's the other aspects. And it's almost as if there's tests being put in place to
mm-hmm.
see how absolute, wow, where did that word come from? Absolute I am with my, not faith, but faith is the only word I can come with, faith in this spiritual work I am doing. And it's not work to me. It is.
Would knowingness work instead of
knowingness,
faith?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I'm. You know, it's funny because everybody seems to be experiencing something. Not everybody, but a lot of the people that have time and age under their belts, I am finding are feeling this. You know, I've done this for a very long time. I'm good at it, and I enjoy it. And I suddenly am getting messages. All right, but you have a lot of life left. Don't you think you ought to try some other things as well? And it kind of dawned on me that I have kept telling people you have to continue to learn. If you don't continue to learn, there's no point in you being here. And that I probably hadn't done that. And, you know, dang, you know, you say it one time too many, and it's like, this must apply to me as well. And I'm finding that in the readings that I do, and I was going to ask you if you had the same experience, that often the readings that you do not only pertain to the person you're reading, but have relevance to your own life as well.
Wow. Yes, they do. I know I was reading in a couple of the pages, and just stuff resonates, and it's like, what people are getting and being given through channeling or whatever, it's, let me go back through my notes, because I've been getting this, and what's timely now is a bit timely before, and we are told this, and it's a good reminder, and I've done a couple of readings lately, and they're for a family, and it's relearning. I don't know if it's I'm going to say that it's relearning. It's a reminder. And I just sort of go, holy smokes. You know, it's a kick in the butt. It's a kick in the butt is what it is. And I take a step back and I take a good hard look and say, wow, And that's what I've been saying that a lot lately. You know, yesterday, I'm not sure what was in the air, and I really don't care. It was beautiful and sunny where I live, and I feel very fortunate in a lot of senses. I really do, and I'm very blessed. And I wasn't feeling the greatest, and I thought I should get outside in that sunshine. And I looked out the window, and I saw an eagle going by. I'm very fortunate to be able to see the eagles. And I thought, oh, I should really go out and take a picture. I haven't seen them at all this year, and I didn't know if they'd be back. So I went out, and I got my camera, and I went outside, and the eagle had disappeared. And I thought, oh, well, there you go. So as I was coming back in, he or she flew over the house, and I thought, oh, you're coming back. And it was like they were saying to me, you're not going in. You haven't been outside long enough. You can stay outside. So I kept trying to take pictures of these guys. And I went inside to get the dogs, and they'd gone away, and then they came right back. So every time I made an effort to go in the house, they'd come closer to my house. And I thought, okay. And then they finally brought their baby. And it was just young little eagle. I know. And it was flapping so hard. They were teaching it, I guess, to fly and to hunt. And I just felt so fortunate, and there was such a lesson in there just to keep going, and that there is rebirth in everything. Like, no matter how crummy we feel at times, you know, that there's still light, there's still goodness, but the light always comes through. And I just felt, I don't know, rejuvenated. And
now
really
did you
blessed.
Relate Did you relate to the eaglet?
Yeah, in a sense I did, but I also related to the older ones, in a sense saying that, you know, you can always come back. You always, it's a full circle. It's a full circle. Like, I love the eagles. Where we live, we see eagles. So I always look for them, spring, summer, fall, winter. And part of me is afraid that there's going to be nothing for them to come back to. So when they do come back every year, I'm most excited. I love to hear them talking. They've got a very distinctive cry.
Mm-hmm.
When they do come back, I get very, very excited. It's like a reaffirmation that the universe is giving us signs that there is more out there.
You know, the economy, the ecology is definitely under attack here, and it is a sad thing, but I think the earth, frankly, probably is just annoyed by us every now and then. I don't think that we have damaged it as much as everybody says. It's sort of like you have this huge planet, and in a way we're like ants on it. And every now and then it shakes us off so that it can, you know, so that places and parts of it can be healed again. You know, that my biggest concern is that humanity is starting to try to play with the weather. Which, yeah, and you remember those commercials a while back, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature?
That is true. You know, I totally agree with you on that, with the weather. I've spoken about that, about weather patterns and how the weather has been tampered with. I totally agree with you.
It's frightening to think that with the consciousness that we have, that we would try to alter or change something that is so much more powerful than we are. A long time ago, I was married to a ship captain, and one whole summer we sailed a 144-foot square rigger for the Oceanic Society out of Gardner's Basin down in New Jersey, and it was a concrete-hulled boat, ship. It was a ship. And it always put me in such awe when we would get out into the ocean and they would cut the engines and drop the squares, and suddenly the wind would fill the squares and this huge, heavy, monstrous ship would suddenly lunge forward, and it was awesome, and it was scary. It was like, how very powerless are we? And you know, that the ship had the sails and we could harness the wind to move through the water was lovely, but it was a joke. And at any moment, the wind could have ripped the sails and the seas could have swallowed us up. And yet, I think that humanity, that mankind, is brave and courageous and stupid, all in one fell swoop, to think that you know, I don't think that the people that are playing with the weather and trying to manage it, I don't think they've ever heard of the law of cause and effect. Because if you cause something, there is an effect, and that effect can easily swallow you up. And
very true.
And it is a universal law. It's been out there forever. It's thousands and thousands of years, the law of cause and effect has been acknowledged and given credit for. And what I find amazing is that we have all these wonderful cosmic laws. We have them. We don't pay any attention to them. And yet they've been around for thousands and thousands of years. It boggles my mind.
No, I agree with you.
You know, I do feel that we are at a time and a place where there are a lot of changes going on. I wanted to ask you, how did you, now I know you're a medium.
Yes.
Do you use cards as well? Do you use any other modality?
I use some cards. I use angel cards. I've tried the tarot, and I'm not very good at those, although I've been told by a few people, like, learn them. You know, I'd be very good at them. What I've done with the angel cards, and I took them out when a friend was here, is you lay them out, or I lay them out, and they just start talking, if that makes any sense. You just put them out, and they say whatever, and all of a sudden, I just know what they say, and they relate to the person. And you can get the book and give them.
Oh, I tell people to throw away the books, actually.
Yeah, so like the Goddess of Nature, it's funny. I just opened up the deck and it says, you know, the Goddess of Nature, you reap what you sow. I've got to take my off. You reap what you sow. Your dream is coming to fruition. And it's funny that we were just talking about that right now. So, you know, they're very appropriate. And whoever, you know, pulls the cards, and I've got to actually get a new deck, whoever pulls the cards when they're sitting with me, it's like whatever's going on with them, the energy comes through. So, you know, a lot of times they're relatives or their spirit guide will come through. A lot of times I'm compelled. I've got a little voice recorder, and I've been, you know, I've had to just recently put it, I think I told you this, put it up above the dishes where I do dishes, on the little shelf where I do dishes, and turn it on. And my husband was making lunch, and I said to him, I've got to do this. Like, I've got these two women here, and they won't leave me alone. And I've got to talk to them because they're not leaving. And I had these three sisters, actually. It was one, and then the other one stepped in, and then this other one stepped in. And they all just started talking to me, and I'm talking into this little voice recorder because there's no way I could write, and there was no way I could really relate to the person they'd come for. And it was really nice, and it was timely, and it was incredible, and I'm very blessed to be able to do that. But usually it's just getting messages. So, I'm just, I've got my animal spirit books. I've got cards. I've got stones. I'm not runes, but just my crystals and shells. And I get smells or tastes, and I go from there. It's whatever sense I'm led to by whoever comes through. And usually I give what I get, and I know I've done my job when, this sounds terrible, people start crying, and that's what I'm told. Mom, or, Jennifer, you've left someone crying again. And I go, like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. But I've left people crying in the store or in their car or wherever else, and I don't mean to, but that's just what I'm given, And
yeah, I experience something like that. I do psychic fairs, and there are 15-minute short readings, and a bell goes off, and everybody switches around. And there have been times when, I have, been talking to somebody, and I'm bringing a relative through or something, and they'd be crying, and I remember one day that everybody left my table crying, and finally it got to the place where I said to the woman, I don't care what I say to you. If you cry, I'm going to smack you because you're making me look really bad with all these people crying. And she said, don't worry, I won't cry. And 5 minutes later, she's reaching for the Kleenex, and it was like, well, damn. there were tons of people around, and everybody who sat down at my table ended up crying. And I finally took a break, and I said, this is ridiculous. I have to go make fun of someone or something because...
No, validation's always good. And I say that to them, thank you for validating. Validation's always good. And they're so happy to have the messages come through, and even if it's funny. There's one instance where I said to this friend of mine, she said, oh, can you read for me? And my husband said, oh, we don't have time. And I'm laughing, and we were leaving. And I finally said something like, by the way, your dad says you're the crappy driver. And she said, I am not. She was really indignant. I am not. He is the one that crossed the white line. And I said, well, apparently not. I said, you are driving. And you're the one that's a crappy driver. Well, she just finished telling me she never cried anymore. She was going through menopause, and her hormones were out of whack, and blah, blah, blah. Well, she burst out crying in the store. You made me cry. And her father says you're a crappy driver.
Well, I couldn't remember.
She said to me, I phoned my sister, and she started crying. And I'm going, oh. Wow, but it's funny, and yet it's nice, It's I get very cold. I don't know if anybody else does. I've turned the heat up in my room twice now, so I've got smokes.
Yeah, and energy does that to me too. I get very cold, and I have a space heater here in the. Where I am, and I usually end up with my feet to the heat just to keep my feet warm, because energy, when you're talking this stuff, when you're dealing with utilizing your spiritual energy and kind of drawing on the cosmic forces, so to speak, for some reason on some people there is one reader that actually just is so hot all the time, it's hysterical, and then I'm freezing, and several of the other psychics were when we do fairs, have the same reaction. It's just that they get so cold, it's ridiculous. And you almost have to get up and jog around the room or something just to get the blood circulating again. So,
that's so true. Well, I've just turned on my heat up again.
Well, hopefully you won't hyperventilate here or pass out from extreme heat frustration or something. it is amazing how energy does affect people differently. When I'm talking to spirit, and when I'm in, there is a level of energetic that I get very, very cold. And then there's another one where everything just sort of, you know, just sort of flows. And then there's another one where are you familiar with people who have epileptic seizures, how they have an aura before they actually get a seizure?
No.
They hear a sound, and it's called an aura. I get that right before inspiration hits me. It's sort of like the other side doesn't trust the fact that I'll have good judgment to know that it's a really good, inspiring thought. So they kind of give me a sound so I know that I should pay attention. You know, in a way, it's cool, and in a way, it's very insulting. Because I can spot inspiration. I don't have to be, you know, reminded that I'm being inspired by something. But the universe does have a way of, you know, really individually tailoring subtleties to us, those who are actually working in the field. And I'm always blown away by people who are just coming into the field, how they are so haphazard about it. They're so casual about it. When you know, I studied for a long time, and I knew I had a gift. I didn't know how to appropriately use it, or I hadn't learned the craft of giving a message yet. And you know, there is so much that is constantly a learning process. I had a woman say, well, I've been a medium for years, and I don't have to learn anymore. And I just looked at her, and I said, so you've been a medium for 20 years? And she said, yes. And I said, and you haven't learned anything else in all that time? She said, I don't have to. I know it all. And I stepped back, and she said, where are you going? I said, getting out of your way. I think lightning's going to strike you real soon. How could we possibly ever know it all?
Well, I'm just like, if you could see my face, like I have to really... I'm really looking like I don't understand. I don't understand that comment.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I had another lady tell me that she was an Indian shaman. And she looked very, very young, but you know, who am I? And I said, that's phenomenal. Who did, you know, how long did you study, and what modality is it? Is it, you know, Native American? Is it Peruvian? Is it, you know, what tradition are you following? She said, oh, I'm just a shaman. And I said, yeah, but there are shamans from all sorts of different cultures and all sorts of different, you know, teachings. Which one have you studied with? And she said, well, I just took a weekend course and I'm a shaman now. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I think that's fabulous, but most shamans don't tell you they're a shaman. They let you discover that fact by their actions and their wisdom. And she said, really? They didn't teach us that. And I said, this is really true. Pay attention to this. It's unwise to go around announcing that you're a shaman. And she said, why? And I said, because a real shaman is going to get mad at you. And she said, I am a real shaman. I'll show you my certificate. And I said, oh, that's so scary. And I said, I hope you really didn't pay a lot of money for that.
Well, I know a few people of Native heritage, and they would find that really, I think, possibly amusing, but more concerning, you know. Fellow who's Métis today, and you know, I could just hear his take on that. That's really interesting is the only word I can think of to be really, yeah, interesting.
Well, you know, it's really, really important. Everybody has psychic ability. Everybody is intuitive. But not everybody is meant to utilize those qualities every lifetime. And when somebody I've had people that have called the show that said, you know, I'm taking a class now so that I can be a medium. It's sort of like, well, what kind of spiritual work are you doing? Well, I'm not doing any spiritual work. I'm taking a class and I'm going to be a medium. And I just step back. It's kind of like, I don't think people understand, a lot of people don't understand that the spiritual gifts, the talents and the craft is something that comes through time with us. And everybody has the capacity to be, everybody is a master teacher, but not everybody is meant to actually practice it this lifetime. Maybe this lifetime is a lesson in which you're gathering. Maybe, you know, and who's to tell? I mean, I can't look at a person and tell whether or not they're going to manifest or not this lifetime. But people think they can take a class and then go out and support themselves doing readings on people. And that blows me away. And yet, there are places out there that are doing very well handing out certificates and certifying people as authentic or true or you know, highly proficient or whatever. And they paid their money, they've bought a certificate, but not the ability to manifest the talent the certificate says they have. It's scary.
No, I hear you. There's, you know, gee, I forget what I was going to say. That was brilliant.
Happens to me all the time.
I was thinking about my friend who actually is native, and who's actually a very good medium, psychic, whatever you want to call her, and she would have. She'd have quite a time with this. She'd have fun with this. It's just a wow, another wow moment in our lives, right?
Well,
and you know, as we were talking, and she said, "You can meditate. You can be a good teacher, but you don't have to teach." You don't have to teach. You can learn. You can just be. And I love that. You can just be.
Absolutely.
And why don't more people do that? And it's so true. You know, I love these conversations with her because we're just ourselves. It's very much like with you, Barbara. We're very much ourselves. You know, you don't have to go out and do anything. You just be yourself. And it's I think if we can learn, everybody, we're here to learn. If we try and learn something new every day, then we've gained and it's so much better. And, you know, I ask questions, and I used to say that when I worked and made work outside the home another big deal, big phraseology thing. I'd say to the higher-ups, I'm not questioning your authority. I'm asking to learn because I want to learn. It's for the thirst of knowledge. So that's all I ever asked for. I just wanted to know. Just wanted to store it in this brain and put it in the filing cabinet in my head, just so I had the knowledge. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of people. They just want the knowledge. Give it to them, because we all have it there somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think we all come in as babies, a fully evolved master teacher. I think this generation that's on the planet now, they're all master teachers. They're all here to help an evolution of the species, to be honest with you. But you know, as we grow older and you know, parents and teachers and the environment and our culture and our religions and stuff like that, they all pile on top of that. And so it's very hard for the person to be, because babies are unconditional love. They don't know hate. They don't know anger. They don't know prejudice. They just, you know, feed me and change me, and I'm a happy camper. And so what happens is that we lose the connection to that wisdom that we've carried in through time. And usually in our 30s or 40s, we start reaching for it. We start digging through all of the garbage that has been filled, you know, put in our heads over time, and we start seeking that spiritual knowledge and wisdom. And it's there. It's just a matter of we have to work to find it. And sometimes we have to just shove the ego aside and allow the wisdom to float to the surface, so to speak, because it absolutely always does. But I think you said something that your friend said that I think is absolutely, worth repeating and repeating and repeating. And it sort of dovetails into something. I had this question the other night, you know, what is a light worker? So many people out there call themselves light workers as though it's a label that tells everyone that they're highly ascended individuals. And in my mind, to my mind, in my opinion, and it's just me, but a light worker is somebody who is living their inner truths. And not speaking it, but living it, because they are a living example of the truth they believe in, as opposed to telling you what they are or who they are. You know, by telling you, that isn't really, by saying something with words doesn't give you the true value and worth of a person. It's their actions. It's how they treat their fellow man. It's how they go through life. That's what determines whether or not a person is a light worker or not, in my opinion.
No, I totally, totally agree with you. It's funny. I had this conversation with my son last night. We had this conversation and synchronicity. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this conversation with him last night. Is that you don't have to go out and say this, 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 and this. You can quietly go do it. And we were talking about paying for someone's groceries, as silly as that sounds. And I said, I have done that before. And he looked at me and he said, have you really? I said, of course I have. It was a young fellow. I said, it was about $40. I feel really crazy telling everybody this. However, I said, it was about $40. I said, he'd forgotten his wallet. I said, and I paid for his groceries. And my son looked at me and he said, did you? Why? And I said, because. I said, number one, he was embarrassed. I said, I could tell he didn't have his wallet on him. And I thought to myself, what if that was my child? I would like someone to do that for him. It was the right thing to do. It mm-hmm. was just right. I said, and that's who we are, Sullivan. I said, that's who we are. That's what we do.
Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you're right.
And I know that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right?
Well, you know, they had a term a while ago about, you know, simple acts of kindness, and you know, it's important to do them. I don't think a lot of the kids today understand about unconditional love, and I think it's something that is missing. You know, they talk about love, but I certainly don't believe they know the meaning of the word. Unconditional means no strings, no agenda, no if you do this, then I'll love you. It's I love you, and you know I may not like you all the time, but I will always love you.
That's exactly it. I don't like the things you do. Might not like that, but that love will never ever go away.
And you know the day that we can apply that same concept to every person we meet, and genuinely do it without even thinking about it is the moment that this planet is getting ready to actually become the garden of bliss that it's supposed to be, instead of, you know, people say that they think that they're in hell here, and I don't agree. I think that this is heaven, if only they would, you know, open their eyes and perceive it as such, and we should treat it as such. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, Don't go seeking something in another realm when you've got all of the material right here to make it that realm, and you know, let go of anger and hate and intolerance and prejudice, and recognize that we're one family. You know, we're not separate. We're all one, and it takes everybody feeling that way to make the planet a successful planet.
That's true, you know.
Someday.
That's really, yeah, I like that.
Well, I'm crossing. I'll keep coming back till I see it.
You've got me again. Here I am.
Have you heard those people that say, this is my last lifetime, I'm not coming back again, I'm all done?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've heard them. And you know, I know I'm coming back again. I know that for how I don't know how I know. I just know. I also know how old I'm going to be, and I'm not saying. And, you know, it's all rhetoric, I guess, because, you know, I think we just go with the flow. And for the most part, we try and keep really happy, although sometimes it's really hard. Because if it wasn't, then it would be too easy. But
well, what would the point be?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, I'm on vacation. You know, this lifetime I'm taking off, and you know why? It's just, you know, it's being down here is just, you know, it is your perception. I will grant you that. If you want to perceive it as awful, then it is. And if you want to perceive it as a fun place, it is that too. And yes, you struggle, but you know, so long as you have a good attitude, you know, even that is not bad. The people that tell me that they're done, you know, I love it because it's usually people that so clearly are coming back. It's so obvious that. You just can't believe it came out of their mouth. But I always tell them they're right. That as far, hey, if you have to agree with them, and I tell them you are absolutely right. This personality, this person and this ego sitting in front of me right now will never again come down to this planet. Your spirit, on the other hand, may have another idea.
Your spirit's going to come flying back, darling, and it's okay. You know, when you said the word struggle, it makes me, I don't know, there's a tenseness that comes about me because I've heard that. You know, it's such a struggle. Life is such a struggle, and it just, it pushes a button. It's one of my buttons. You know, we all have them. And
sure.
I've said it. Cool. And I said, if that's how you perceive it, that is what you are going to get. And you are so welcome to it. You are so welcome to the struggle. Because I'm not having any part of it. Like, I will walk away from that. I will walk away from you and your struggle. And you are welcome to have that dance. Because life does not have to be a struggle.
No, absolutely. Did you ever think, going on the premise that after we've been on the other side a while, our personalities and everything, that we become less and less and less dense until we're, you know, just pure energy again, and then we choose to reincarnate. Going on that philosophy for just a minute, did you ever think that at some point, just before people decide to reincarnate, they go into a bar, a bunch of them, and maybe there are, I like to think there are bars over there. They all go, a whole bunch of them get together and they're sitting around having beers and they're comparing, you think you had a bad personality? Let me tell you what my person made me do. You think you had a bad time? Let me tell you the challenges that this personality put me through. I am taking that one off the table the next time.
Oh gosh, can you imagine? I mean, I'm just imagining a few people I know sitting at that bar, drinking that beer or that martini or glass of wine, and thinking, boy, I'm not sitting with you now, and I'm not sitting with you then, because I don't want to. I don't want to hear you.
Or how about them sitting there, you know, comparing those, you know, we're going to go into the reincarnation center tomorrow. Let's be careful about the boxes we check this time, you know. I mean, you can't tell me it's a place where everybody walks around in long white gowns and they bless one another as they go by. They've got to have senses of humor. And it's sort of, you know, I call it the reincarnation center because I, for lack of a better word, but I do think that the spirit on some level sits and talks to someone saying, all right, I want to work on this aspect and this aspect and this aspect. And it's almost like they've got to check a whole list of check marks, you know, going to work on tolerance, going to work on, you know, being more benevolent or being more, you know, whatever they check. And you know, I think some
Stop
of them are over
bitter.
There. Oh, yeah, and I think some of them have been over there so long they've forgotten exactly what that could entail. And so they think, well, these all look like really good qualities. Let me just check them all, and we'll really get it all done in one lifetime. And, you know, those are the people that are sitting around saying, I never would have signed up for this, ever, ever, ever. You can't tell me I had anything to do with evolving into this kind of crap. And you just know they were one of those that checked all the boxes, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and you know who they are. You can just, you know who they are. You're going, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I run into them all the time, you know. I don't know. I couldn't possibly have signed up for this. Yes, you did.
Yeah. Let me tell you. You think, no, 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 no.
I just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we got to, you know, it we have total control, and we're able to, Bree is in the chat room. She said she must not have been able to read before she checked the boxes. No, I think that, you know, there are aspects of evolution that you know, we are working on. And I think it's a very, for want of a better word, human process we go through. All right, you know, last lifetime, you know, you were a mass murderer. What do you want to try this time? And we don't get to check exactly. We check the aspects that we want to work on, and then the universe surprises us with a situation it puts us in. And it's always a surprise, and it's always I think sometimes we see babies just crying for no reason, and it's because they've realized they checked a lot of the wrong boxes. Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's right. They know even before. They're old enough, they're thinking, oh, crap.
I'm checking out.
I know what I did. I got you again. Ah, shit.
Yeah, and the fact, and even more fun because they say, and I would tend to agree with them. I don't know who they are, but you know, they say we incarnate in soul groups. Now, if that's the case, these guys sitting around, you know, and I picture a whole bunch of guys and one guy looking at the other and saying, I'm not coming back as your wife ever again. I think there's a TV series here.
Oh, that is good. That is a good... I wonder who would pick that up, because that is a good series.
Oh,
wow.
Man. Yeah, I mean, when you we sit around here in human form criticizing the whole process from time to time, because it tends to be sloppy and it tends to be, come back, it's the mistress
haphazard.
And they treat you better. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And And you know, one would just think that, that it's a quality that we will take into the next realm, the next dimension, and do the exact same thing about the opposite, you know. And I don't think that there's anger that, that is ever addressed at anyone. It's like, oh, man, that was not the best of my choices. But not, you know, you beat me up, you brute, or anything like that. It's just kind of like, you know, I'm going to choose better next time. But I thought, I think I chose really well this time, to tell you the truth. And I absolutely think that the lessons that I've gone through have been amazing ones. They've given me, you know, a lot of, first of all, a great sense of humor, and then the ability to look at almost anything that comes my way with a sense of, okay, this is a challenge to my creativity, and I can get through this, and I can do this, and if I go outside the box, maybe I'll get brownie points or extra or I'm having too good a time. I don't want to leave, and certainly if I leave, I'm going to come back, because it's great down here. There's a lot of amazing, wonderful stuff down here to do. And I've recently been looking into the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, and they talk a lot about how, you know, you do reincarnate over and over and over again, and how the aspect of love and how you express love within your lifetime, you know, is really important. And I just don't understand why not enough people get that message.
Well, I haven't. That's one thing I haven't done is looked into the Emerald Tablets, and it's on my list of reading to do. What is odd is the other night I was giving a reading, and I wrote down Thoth, and I thought, what is this? And someone said to me, what is this? I said, I don't know. I said, I do know, but I don't know. I said, why I'm giving it for you, I don't know, but I'm giving it for you. So follow it up, whatever. And it was just because it just, that's what it, if I'm given something and I'm told to give it to them, I do. And, you know, it just is. You know, it's like blue suede shoes. So don't know who that's for, but it's for someone out there. Anyhow, so I have to look up the Emerald Tablets. Just this part of me for a second. Anyhow.
But there's, you know, it's funny because I've been in this field a long, long time. And I had never heard of them. And the other day I was talking about them on Curious Times. And Boat Mom, I think, mentioned the raw material. Now, I'd never heard of that either. And I'm beginning to think, you know, how uneducated have I been? And yet, it's a natural progression. You get to a point where you've read all of the... You get to the place where you've read all of the kumbaya stuff, the for want of a better word. You've read The Secret, and you've read all of the authors that have done their metaphysical yada yadas, and then you think, okay, where do we go from here? I mean, this is a great foundation, but this is not the end. It has to only be another step. So where is the next level that we can go to that will stretch us even further, that will give us even more information, that opens the door to, you know, if there's nothing left to question, there's no point in being here.
That's right.
And happily, there is so much left to question. But I have to admit that for the last couple of years I've been sort of marking time, and somebody said to me, you know, well, what's new for you? What's coming up next? And you know, it's always been I don't know. I have a couple of books that I want to write and everything, but, you know, I'm going to keep doing the fairs, and I'm going to keep doing the radio shows, and but I'm waiting. And they would say, what are you waiting for? And I would say, I'm not real sure, but I'm waiting to find out where next I go, what next I get involved in. And somebody said to me, you're just marking time. And I said, no, I'm doing other stuff too. But, you know, there's something more coming that I need to get into. I have, I have two master's degrees. And I've often said, you know, if they had a PhD program someplace, I'd love to take it. And I found a couple that were holistic PhD programs. But in reading through the material, most of the classes required books I'd already read, and you know, it was kind of like, this is not new material for me. And if it's not new material, there's no point in it. And so the Emerald Tablets came around, and I thought, oh, I can really plow into this. This is something that I have to be able to. And what I'm going to do is I've plowed through them several times, and what I'm going to do is the translation that I am working from was done in 1925. In 1925, the concept of extraterrestrials, of other dimensions, of astral traveling, of reincarnation were not common. As a matter of fact, they weren't even things that you know, were really talked about. So I am going to rewrite them with 100 years more of metaphysical information and philosophy and put them on my blog. So I'm going to channel from the channeled material that was channeled from channeled material that was channeled from other channeled material. I mean, originally they were supposedly written around 1,000 years ago. More than 1,000 years ago, 1,000 B.C. And they have been around. The first printed copies of them that were found between the 6th and 8th century. They were then supposedly, that translation was in Arabic, and then there were some written in the 1500s and the 1600s, and then they were translated into Latin, and then Latin into English, and then everybody took off on them, everybody from Freud to Carl Jung, and Isaac Newton interpreted them to a certain degree. And then this Dr. Doral in 1925 went more deeply into it, and basically it was really fascinating. And I think if you go online and Google the Emerald Tablets, you'll find his translation. He basically said, you know, this material could be considered channeled, and there are those that will scoff. But read the material, and if you have enlightenment in your spirit, it will resonate to the words, and wisdom will be yours, which I thought was really cool. So I've been trying to put them in some sort of order. I've been trying to understand the whole philosophy that they're going through, and eventually, you know, like in a couple of weeks, they'll start appearing on my blog, but with my understanding of the universe. In other words, they talk about the underworld being called Amenti. But in reality, it was another dimension. He talked about a portal going into another world, and it in my belief system, it's another dimension that they went into, and it's fascinating stuff. You're gonna eat it up.
Oh, I'm looking so forward to it.
It's
really
is.
Exciting. I am filled with such excitement. I don't know how else to describe it.
There's new stuff
right.
out there, and what's really cool is it's old stuff that is now coming to the surface, and now we can apply 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 years of progressive thought, awareness, whatever, to things so that you know, we're not working with the Bible as a foundation as much anymore because, you know, while it is a wonderful book and it has great history in it and it has all sorts of information in it, it doesn't really tell us what the destiny of man is. And what's fascinating is the Emerald Tablets parallel a lot of the stuff in the Bible. And it was written before the Bible was ever conceived of. And it talks about a great flood. And it talks about how the Atlanteans, the spirits who were guiding the Atlanteans, were upset with the thought, the consciousness of the people. They had gone sort of to the dark side. And so those that were sort of overlord type things, they shifted the gravity of the planet. They literally tilted the axis of the planet so that the water it created a great flood. And the cool thing is, in the text that I'm now reading, Thoth was told to take, they were all together at this temple of light that was the only thing that was sticking out of the water, and they were told to take the master's spaceship and go to the land of Chem, which was Egypt. And you know, I sat there looking and I said, spaceship? You got to be kidding me. But that's what it says. So, a lot of stuff. Cool stuff. And
wow.
It's new. And it's it talks about the law of cause and effect, and it talks about love, and it talks about peace, and this guy was teaching it thousands of years before Christ. So but what's really, really, really cool is, you know, in the Bible it talks about eventually how there will be a war between the good and the bad, and that Jesus will come back with his minions and his armies, and then we'll have 1,000 years of peace, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to the Billy Meyer material and his material, he's a Norwegian farmer that is channeled, not channeled, but spoken with extraterrestrials, and he's written down all of the dialogues for like 30 or 40 years. Basically, his material says that we're going to go through almost 800 years of strife and all sorts of other stuff before that the light overcomes the darkness, and that we have, you know, peace and tranquility and bliss. And the Thoth material talks about brothers of darkness and the brothers of light having a battle, and at that time Thoth will come back, and there will be a time of peace and love and kindness and goodwill towards all. And if you look at some of the other ancient texts, I mean the ancient ones, the Gita and the Vedas and things like that, they talk about the same thing. So that it's a story, a philosophy, an aspect, an energy that has been presented to us time after time after time, literally, age after age after age, literally. And we look upon it almost as a story as opposed to history repeating itself. Pay attention. And it appears that you know, the Thoth material says the same thing. And basically, though, it's talking about working with the light, using the light, and seeking the wisdom that is held within, and kindness and generosity and love, and that you know, goodness and wisdom, and wisdom is to be applied to everyone so that there's peace and sharing and stuff like that. It's amazing. And humanity is being given these lessons over and over and over and over and over again, and sooner or later it will sink in, one would hope.
Well, that's what I was just thinking, is that aren't we all taught lessons until we've learned whatever we're supposed to learn? I mean, you know, from when we're little, we're taught, you know, don't touch a hot stove. You know, don't touch that, that's hot. And, you know, you can be taught that. And you're going to touch it until you learn.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know, where, you know, we were driven to, you know, you don't fight. We want to be peaceful. We have
mm-hmm.
peace. Find a different way. And there are so many different ways to achieve, you know, to achieve the end that you want. And, you know, so everybody, and who everybody is, I don't know, but it seems that they, the infamous they, are all saying the same thing from years and years and years before. You know, Toth is saying what Christ has said, or whoever you want to call him or her.
Mm-hmm.
They're all saying
the same thing. Yeah, you've got Christ, you've got Gandhi, you've got Buddha, you've got, you know, all through time. There have
exactly.
been teachers here
Mother
of
Teresa.
Light. Yeah, no. yeah. And I think, you know, I think that on the planet at this point in time, there are so many people who are really looking for that wisdom, looking for that hope, looking for those answers, and applying them to their own lives. I think that even though it does look dire in certain places of the world, that there has to be a balance to it. There has to be a reason that so much chaos is happening. I don't know what the reason is.
I don't know what the reason is either, except maybe to sit up and take notice that there are better ways of achieving it. You know,
yeah.
I go back to, you know, redundancy, the weather patterns, just a minute, and letting, you know, the almighty power struggles, the ego, instead of letting spirit work, instead of the ego work. And it is a power struggle with the different nations or whatever else, instead of becoming one. And if
mm-hmm.
we all became one, and a peaceful one at that, then, you know, you wouldn't have the power struggle that there is happening right now. That's just my viewpoint. You know, I
oh,
think
yeah.
that, you know, we could achieve so much more. You know, I think most of us watched the Olympics and all the strife that was happening over in that part of the world. And it's, to me, it was really disturbing, because on one hand, you've got all these athletes, and they're all happy, and they're all striving to do their best, and everybody's happy. And then you've got all the strife that's going on, and I'm thinking, you know, my God, what's going on? Like, this really should be a joyful time. We should be uniting as
oh,
one
yeah.
over one, you know, event or issue, and just, like, coming together instead of, you know, what transpired. And to me, that was really, well, saddened is such a small word to put on it. But, you know, there was so much more that could have happened. So much more goodness, I guess is the word I'm looking for. That could have happened. And maybe should have happened. Should, to me, is a really negative word. But that should have happened. You know, you should have done this. You should have done that. But no, it, you know, we as humanity, we could have made something so much greater. And yet, you know, I think the power struggles, we forget about that. We forget about, you know, compromise and trying to make it better, you know, the ego. And, you know, I understand ego like we all do. We all have that little inside.
Yeah.
But, you know, push it aside and try and let it go. You
know? And I think it one of the things that disturbed me about the Olympics was the big thing was who had more gold medals. It wasn't that all of these athletes are together and they're harmonious and the wonderful things that happened during the competition where one skier lost a pole and somebody else, you know, gave them another one or somebody
helped them up.
Yeah, and the athletes were there for the sport. Now some of them were there for medals too. Come on, let's be real. But
that's what you're in it for. If you're not there to win, then don't bother going in it. However, for personal best and pride, and I get all that. But you know, to come together and to stand up all together and to see them, every nation or pretty much every nation, and they were all happy. How great is that?
Oh yeah, and then the big thing is, you know, the big opening ceremony and the closing ceremony and how much they spent on it. And you know, they got a point. That money could have been handed over to the poor of the country and it would have really helped a lot. And what if they just had somebody run into the stadium and light a torch and have all of the athletes there singing and dancing and whatever and not spent millions of dollars on building, well, they had to build the stadiums, I guess, if they were going to actually have the events there. But the focus was on the amount of money and how extravagant they could be, and they could outdo the previous country that had hosted it before, and they pay a fortune in order to get to be able to host it, and they're looking at the commercial value of it, not what the athletes are doing at all.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think the true meaning is lost. It really is. And like you said, you know, someone helping someone else up, someone lending them a pole, someone passing them something that's broken. That's what it's about. That's the true meaning.
In the first Olympics, they ran naked. They weren't wearing anybody's colors. They weren't wearing anybody's anything. They weren't wearing anything. And you know, I don't think we should go to that extreme. But it's the competition. It's the competition.
No, that's true.
You know, they're games. They were games. And they aren't treated as games anymore. They're treated as, you know, countries push their athletes. Yeah. No, I don't get me wrong, I enjoyed watching some of it. It was amazing stuff, but they were making such a big deal about how many gold medals they have won and how many of this they have won. And that's not the point of it. That's not the point of the Olympics at all, at least not when it was originated.
No, that's true. No, I just felt that, you see, I'm a very sportsy person. I think that if you keep kids in sports, they stay out of the courts. You know, you keep them in arts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Keep kids in, you keep them busy. You keep them in a, you know, occupied you keep them in sports or arts, but sports, they stay out of courts. So you keep
mm-hmm.
them where they're supposed to be and whatever, supervised. You know, hopefully they don't go down the wrong path, so to speak. So I'm a real proponent of that. And so I get really enthused when events of that nature happen because it teaches so many good things, you know, leadership,
team play, yeah,
individualism, how to stand up for yourself, blah, blah, blah. We go on forever. When something of a political nature, and there's politics and everything, I know that, happens, I find it distasteful because it shouldn't be like that. There, you know, don't, you know, these athletes, the coaches, whatever, to me, they're there to just, I don't know how to explain it, to light our way, to say, here's some enjoyment. This is what we've struggled so hard for. And This is what we've worked so hard for, and we're doing our absolute best. So let's give our absolute best back to them. We should be really grateful for that. That's all.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I agree with you totally. And it's sort of like when the kids start in Little League and stuff, you know, they don't keep score. Nobody wins, nobody loses. It's just the fun of the game. And you know, as they get older, the competition gets in there, and then, of course, it's more serious stuff. But I just love my son did baseball and volleyball, and you know, laughingly, he did basketball one semester. Only white kid on the team. He ran back and forth and back. They never gave him the ball.
My daughter with lacrosse, they never threw her the ball. Like, you're a girl, you can't play. What?
but he got out there and he was a member of the team. And I went to every game and he made me stop going because I couldn't stop laughing. No, Texas Pearl, this is not a reading show, but tomorrow, Jen will be with me at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we will be doing Nightlight at 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night.
That
and
will be 8 o'clock Pacific time.
Yes.
I'm on the west coast of Canada, folk.
Oh, yeah. But she'll be here with me at 8 o'clock in the east, and I'll be there with her at 5 o'clock in the west. And so, but no, back to, you know, it's, and there's something very spiritual about the aspect of sports too. You get into a zone. It is a matter of taking your body and working with it so that it will cooperate with you and it will do things that you know, sometimes it's not natural to do, like, you know, jumping in the air on ice and stuff like that. But there's a spiritual aspect to it. There's a form of dedication to something, and it's a wonderful experience for anybody to be involved in any sort of sport or any kind of, you know, pastime, actually.
I'm not very – well, I was, till I was in my teens, kind of sportsy. But, you know, I didn't do sports after I was 16 – for various reasons, but I know my daughter had said to me once, "You can't run, Mom." And, oh, I was furious. And I guess I got a stick and I started chasing her. And she was quite surprised at how fast her mother could run. She went, "Whoa, Mom can run, girl." I said, "Just because I don't run or choose not to run doesn't mean I can't." You know, don't ever get confused. Don't get confused.
No.
To do and not to do. But, no, I think people that do sports or do art, I'm so very envious. I will admit that. I try and draw, and I, you know, we've seen all those things Pablo Picasso does and whatever, and I just think, oh, you know, I wish I could do something.
Well, his work originally, he was a traditional artist at first, and his paintings were very, and then he just, you know, took fish bones and threw it on the palette and threw it on the canvas and signed his name and charged $100,000, you know. But he did have the reputation, you know, to back it up, I guess. But I agree with you. There's the aspect of art is profound. I mean, there's so much spirituality, especially in artwork, because a true artist puts themselves into everything they do. And there's an aspect of their spirit there.
Here's a question. I see things. I can't put it on paper, though. I find it really not troubling. Frustrating not to be able to put what I see in my mind down on paper. I am shown an image, and I can be shown someone with long dark hair, glasses, white shirt, tall neck, buttons down the front, possibly from the 1800s. And I couldn't draw her for the life of me. If you could paint, how would I draw it? Just a second. I just have to let the dog out. I'm really sorry to do this.
No, no, go ahead. I mean, you don't argue with a dog that has to go. That can be disaster.
Sorry about that. So how do you do that?
How do I do what? Draw?
Draw. Do you draw? How do you put down what you see in your head on a piece of paper, or do you?
I draw personal mandalas, but they're designs, and those are representations of people's soul energies. But I paint with words, and I think you did a very good job of it. I mean, when it's very much like on the Wolf and the Bear Network on Vision, it was called Ken's. Oh God, it was Ken. Anyhow, it was a radio show, and they ran on the radio show, a radio show from the 40s, I think. And it was amazing because all you heard were their voices and sound effects, but you could see it happening in your mind's eye. And so I think that when you aren't able to sit down and actually represent it, because I do stick figures, you know, I can do really good, but I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to show anybody my stuff. But I paint with words. You know, if I see someone, I describe them not only with the words, but with the words of the emotions that are going along with whatever is being replicated, and that's how I would draw it. I mean, some people have a real gift for being able to put things down on paper and it being an absolute rendition of what has appeared in their mind's eye. I don't have that. But I can, you know, say that I see a woman who is like 5'4" and her hair is upswept and she has, you know, dark brown hair with little streaks of gray in it, and there's always flyaway hair. It's never always meticulous, and she has a high collar on her, and her complexion is very rosy, and it feels like she's always either hot or very flushed, and she wore pearls all the time, and her favorite color was purple, and she had lace on the sleeves of her blouse, and her skirt is very, very tight, and there's almost like a cummerbund, and it goes to the floor, and her shoes are black, and they're laced, and they go all the way up past her ankle. And, you know, I would describe it to the point where the person saw the person and would be able to say, oh, that's great Aunt Mehitable, you know, or something like that. And you do the same thing.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing, but I guess what I was getting at is when I try and put it on paper, you know, I do it with words, but I've tried to draw them because I'm not sure why, just because.
Mm-hmm.
I want to draw.
Well, you know, maybe in a past life you were an artist, and there's a part of you that is just kind of like, well, just draw the damn thing.
And some people have said, oh, well, just don't draw lines, use shading, whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, this doesn't work. It's frustrating is what it is. And I was just wondering. Like, I'm, you know, it's like that old commercial, you know, you're no artist, you can't draw. Yeah, I know that. Like, I draw a stick figure.
I had... I studied originally for a long time in the spiritualist church, and I studied with one of the ministers, and the other, his wife was also a minister, and I had done several things with them in the church, and she came to me and she said, I'm going to do a lecture on spirit guides and teachers, and you're going to draw them, And while I talk, and then afterwards you're going to give the pictures, you're going to talk to the people that you drew them for and explain what the teacher was for and what the message is. And I said, I don't draw faces. And she said, oh, yes, you will. And I said, I don't draw faces for a reason, because I can't draw. And she said, oh, well, you'll be fine. And I said, okay, you know, Spirit's telling you I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And my mother had a friend who was an artist, and I went to her and I said, look, I don't draw. I know I don't draw, especially faces. You know, I can do a respectable tree if you give me long enough, but a face, I don't think so. And so she started to work with me on proportions and everything, and she said, you know, you're right. You have no skill for this. And I said, I know that. So teach me how to draw eyes. Because I figure if I can get the eyes right, the rest of it won't matter.
Yeah.
And so she worked with me on eyes. And so every drawing that I did had eyes that were intense, with, you know, little fluffers here and there, and you know, you couldn't see the rest of anybody's face. There was always a scarf or something over it, you know. And the message that I gave, everybody could relate to the message that I gave, and they were thrilled with the eyes. And I said to the woman after the service, I said, don't ever ask me to do that again, because I'm not
going
to. But I got away with just eyes. And you know, it was kind of like, no, I don't have that skill and talent. I'd love to have it. I'd love to be able to play the piano, and I can't this lifetime. Doesn't mean that probably I couldn't struggle through and learn White Christmas and Jingle Bells, but that's not how I hear myself playing. I hear myself playing Bach and Beethoven, and that just ain't coming out of these fingers this lifetime. But I think that in lifetimes past, that both of us have been artists, that both of us have been musicians or teachers or whatever. And you know, you can't do it all in one lifetime. You can't be, you know, an inventor and an artist and a musician and someone who lectures brilliantly, or, you know, or is an orator, or you know, you can't do it all. I think that there are areas that we chose when we checked the boxes that we would excel in, and those other boxes just weren't checked this time.
Yeah, I obviously checked the box with that one.
I left a lot of boxes unchecked, I have found. But I
know I did. It's like, eh. No, well, colors and boxes, like, standing joke in the family is if you wanna get dressed or get colors, my sister dresses me, or my daughter will now, is, or my husband will say, those colors match, because I think everything looks wonderful together, absolutely wonderful. And they'll say, no. You cannot wear that and that. Those colors do not match. So I'm thinking, what? Nature puts those colors together. Why can't I? And they're going, no.
Yeah.
No,
well, you're guys. Not Mother Nature, so.
That's exactly it. That's what they're trying to tell me. And, you know, I'd gone over to Vancouver one time, and they had this big sale, and I bought these clothes, and I was so excited, and I phoned my sister, and she said, stop. You cannot wear those together. You know that, don't you? And she was so serious. And I just started laughing and laughing, and I thought this was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard. And I said, well, of course I can't. I said, because I knew you'd say that, but I did buy them. And she went, oh, thank God. She said, I was so afraid you'd be going out tomorrow and wearing them together. But no, I don't see, I see colors in that, but I just honestly, it was not one of the boxes I ticked. I don't,
yeah.
And I don't get it. I think every color goes together. And
but you know,
they don't.
If you had become a talented artist, you might not be the talented spiritual teacher that you are. Your message probably would have gone into painting instead of talking.
Well, I never thought of that.
I mean, you know, don't be greedy here now. You are a master teacher. And you know, master teachers are always learning, too, so that doesn't, you know, mean you're at the top of the mountain. One of the things in the Toth material I read that I thought was fascinating, with every step forward, the mountain gets higher. And I loved that thought, that you know, every time we achieve another level, the mountain grows, so that we're always, you know, there's always a mountain to climb. And some people choose to camp out a lot earlier than others.
That's the truth, though. You know, I love that saying. I'm going to have to. That really resonates.
It's true, and you know, it's sort of like that. And a long time ago, somebody said to me that, you know, I should be doing this full time and stuff. And my comment back was, well, when I arrive, I'll look around and see if anybody wants to hear my story. And if they do, I'll tell the story. And they jumped on me. They said, oh, you are so stupid. And at the time, I probably was. And they said, it isn't the fact that you've achieved something that is the teaching tool. It's your journey. And so long as you're on the journey, you have material to teach people with. If you arrived, it's no big deal. You know, you just have to start another journey. And nobody cares to hear you've arrived because they're still struggling too. But everybody can resonate to someone who is on the journey with them and learn from their mistakes. Now, I didn't write him a thank you note, but it is an amazing... Probably the only wise thing he ever said in his life, but it's true.
It is the truth, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I like that too. I do. No, I didn't. Is it too late to do it now?
Well, I have not yet arrived, but every now and then there seems to be a whole bunch of people.
No, but I mean, send them a little thanks, you know, just say, hey, by the way, you know, when, and just, I mean, you don't even have to finish the note, just leave them hanging. Just so, keep them wondering. To me, that would be funny.
Yeah, and remember the talk about the mountaintop and every step we go, you know, did you see the comment that Texas Pearl put in the chat room? Oh, my God, I know some campers. We all
actually,
do.
Pearl, I go camping as often as I can, so that's pretty funny. Oh. It's one of the things I love the most.
Oh, I love camping too, so long as there's an indoor toilet and black and white TV. I am not a rougher.
It's funny because we had this young man come and visit us, and he said, "You live in a forest." I thought that was. Honestly, I thought that was one of the strangest things anybody had ever said to me, like, because I don't consider myself living in a forest. Like, there's roads, but I guess to him, from living in the city, he thinks that, you know, we've got the trees. And I just thought, oh, now that's, you know, it's perception, right?
Sure.
I just thought, oh. Very interesting. So,
well, you know, it's but it's true. You know, it is how you perceive it. I can remember when Patrick and I drove across country and we hit Pennsylvania. He was from California. And you know how arid that is. And we got to Pennsylvania and the roads were all, I mean, they were just trees all over the place. We were driving through a forest. And he kept looking at it and saying, you know, this has been going on for a long time. How long does this last? And I said, all the way to the ocean. And he said, are you kidding me? And I said, yeah. And he said, I thought this was all gone. And this was a very brilliant man. And I said, are you kidding me? He hadn't been out of California in 30 years. And he said, I didn't realize this was here. And I think that there are a lot of people in this world that don't realize just how brilliant this planet is and how much of it is still green and rich and wonderful. There's a wonderful, wonderful video called Home. It's an hour and a half video.
Yeah, it to me.
Did you see that?
I was watching it. I started, come on, get down. Started to watch that, and you know, in your chest, how it expands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel. You watch it, and your whole essence expands.
The planet is just amazing. And it shows the photography is so beautiful I love that video. Everybody should watch it, and everybody should also drive across the country at least once, because it is an amazing place.
Thank you for saying that today.
Oh, you're welcome. I do want to talk just a little bit. You're going to come back tomorrow, and we're actually going to not make fun of spirits in bars, though we may. But we are going to be doing readings tomorrow night, and give them an idea as to what kind of material, what kind of stuff you're able to give in a reading while we have still some time left.
Okay. What I will say is that I said something about blue suede shoes earlier. So I've got this woman standing with me, and it's either for Deborah or her name is Deborah. And she has been with me for most of our telephone, just a second, conversation. And she hasn't left me alone. So for tomorrow, whoever Deborah is connected with. There's a lot of guests in the room. You know, I'd like whoever Deborah is connected with to please stand up and say it's me, because she's coming through and she's got a few things to say.
Okay, that's going to be hard, because as a guest, they can't chat.
Well then.
No, they can't. But for those of you who are able to chat, she has a spirit named Deborah. And if any of you that are, you know, have access to a keyboard can relate to some, can you describe Deborah?
Well, she'd be the one with long dark hair. Probably 40 years old. I'm going to say she's 40. She's coming through as a 40-year-old, probably in the 1800s. She works in the sun in the farms. And she wears an apron. And...
Okay. you realize most of these people in the chat room won't know of somebody in the 1800s.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, well, it would seem to me most of these people were born in the 60s and the 50s, so...
Oh, well, they should know who their grandparents are.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Could be a grandparent.
So it would be a grandparent or something, not my ancestor. See, there's Texas Pearl, not my ancestor. Sorry, Texas Pearl.
Aww.
So, but...
Well, wait, what does Deborah have to say? She might have just been... She might have just been here because of our conversation. She might have something to say that you know, anybody could relate to.
Well, she was here. Well, she's... I told her not now because she was coming in. And when she came in, who had the blue suede shoes? Who is that?
I think that may have been Bree. She's Earthbound Angel. We were teasing her because she's not able to walk now, so blue suede shoes would be something that she might, you know, be cool for her to have.
Hmm. Well, Deborah comes in with a lot of love, and I'm pulling a card, and it's the God of Spiritual Healing.
Well, okay, so Bree's been listening to a lot of Elvis lately, so this may be for Bree.
Well, it has to be for Bree for Blue Suede Shoes. I'm getting Love Me Tender. So it is from her grandmother or great-grandmother. And there's someone in spirit that, obviously in spirit, that watches over her and that which she was close to as a baby. And I see angel wings and someone else is coming in with long blonde hair.
Bree is Earthbound Angel in the chat room.
See, I don't look at my screen.
She's got a little red flower.
Does she have blonde hair? Yes, Bree?
I don't know. Bree, do you have blonde hair? I don't know either.
She's not there. So anyhow, they're just coming in to tell her that they watch over her, that they're with her, and that they're helping her right now. I guess that... I'm going to guess that she's probably going through a rather hard time at the moment.
Yes, she is. And she does have blonde hair.
Okay. So she's going through a hard time at the moment. They see that and they're helping her with it. And they're going to continue helping her with it. And she's not to lose her faith.
Okay.
And that all she has to do is ask and look for the signs. Because the signs are there, Bree. And they're coming in to tell you that they talk at night. And they're giving you a hat to put on. You can wear different hats, like Barbara and I do. That's funny. So put on a different hat. Put on a different hat when you need to. And you'll make it through. Okay?
Cool. Very cool. She has been going through a very bad time, and she is getting better. And
good.
And different hats make great sense. So that was absolutely wonderful. And you did great. And they're all going to be back tomorrow, and at 8:00 at night, 5:00 your time. And I anticipate there will be a long line of people that are going to want to hear from you, and we will try to get through as many as we possibly can. But tonight has been fabulous. You were so much fun to talk to.
Well, I've really enjoyed myself, and I thank you so much for having me. Really, this has been a blast. I really thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
And well, you know,
chat room that often when I'm talking because I find it distracting and I really can't do two things at once.
Don't worry about it. But I think that you know, it gave them a chance to hear two people that play with the light to sort of, I like this, borderless clowns. to talk about.
Whose Walk with Spirit, love that.
Yeah, that's cool. But we will be back tomorrow evening, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Western, and we will be doing readings. So if you have questions, if you want a reading, that's the show you call into. Jeannie will be here. She'll do screening, or Chris if we lose Jeannie. And we thank you so much, guys. It's been really a lot of fun having you there and sharing our laughter and making fun of spirits. But I like the spirit bar.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I do too. I absolutely adore that, and I'm going to be sharing that tomorrow. So I've got, you know what I've got going on in the morning? I'm asking everyone to please send me their energy for the morning. I'm going to need it. I've got a tough court case going on, so please send me all the energy you've got. Love you all.
We'll
thank you.
Certainly do that, and thank you for being here, Jen. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay. Blessings to you all. Bye now.
And you as well. Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. It's been a great show. I had a great time. I hope you did. And tomorrow night, we will be here at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we will be doing readings. So, you know, come back. We will have more fun and hopefully be able to give you spirits and information and wisdom and past lives and all that sort of good stuff. So, we will be seeing you, talking to you tomorrow night. Thanks again for being here. It's been a lot of fun.